your life today.
A couple of great whites spotted at Cape Cod. Wouldn't you know it, Labor Day weekend, they had to close some of the beaches. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging with you. We're going to labor along for four big hours here on ATN. Your visa expires, no problem, as long as you have friends underneath the wire and you can earn a living. You can stay here as long as you like. We talked about this a little bit last week. More on that. Also, the education secretary says the furor over Obama's speech that he's going to make next week is silly. And actually, there's a couple of people that agree on the Republican side of things, including former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Senate Republican Conference co-chairman Lamar Alexander, who says the same thing, that if the president wants to address the school kids, he should. We've got the latest on that because that text is going to become available tomorrow, and I'll give you some more thoughts on why I think it was a mistake. It was a mistake for a couple of different reasons, and mostly it's because this administration is unprepared, so they never sell it right. Speaking of not selling it right, and here's where we begin, the Green Czar quits. Yep, Van Jones, the man pushing for more jobs in energy-efficient industries, was caught in a spider's web after a couple of things. One, calling the Republicans a-holes several times. Yeah, that wasn't a good thing. Then there was the thing that he did, where he signed a petition in 2004 supporting the 9/11 Truther movement, which, of course, believes the Bush administration might have been involved in the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, which is never good for someone who ends up in an administration afterwards, right? And then there were a couple of other things connected to him as well. In fact, several things. So you knew his ship was sinking. And ultimately, he decided to resign right smack in the middle of Labor Day weekend because there was all of this controversy that was starting to be dredged up. Once again, what is the problem? Well, you appoint 30-some czars and you don't vet really any of them out thoroughly because these are congressionally approved positions. So then little controversies seep out that, gosh, you had no idea about or you didn't think were going to be a big deal. This is what I do not get about the Obama administration. They cannot be that stupid, knowing that this is complete fodder for anybody. Of course, it's right there for anyone to find. We live in the Internet era. If all of us did a little bit of digging, we could dig up some of this stuff. So anyway, Robert Gibbs, the White House spokesperson, had this to say on George Stephanopoulos' show today.
Well, what Van Jones decided was that the agenda of this president was bigger than any one individual. The president thanks Van Jones for his service in the first 8 months and helping to coordinate renewable energy jobs that are going to lay the foundation for our future economic growth.
But did the president want him to go?
Well, the president and the CEQ accepted his resignation because Van Jones, as he says in his statement, understood that he was going to get in the way of the president and ultimately this country moving forward on something as important as creating jobs in a clean energy economy.
All right. Do you love this? So once again, of course, they're sidestepping the issue. Did the president want him to step down or did he just decide on his own he's going to step down? And really, what does the president think of that? Of course, you don't get anything out of Gibbs, just more of the two-step that you constantly get, I think, from him whenever he holds any of his White House briefings. Again, this is part of the problem. The only thing he would say is that Obama doesn't endorse Jones's statements, any of the associations either. That's it pretty much. And the White House advisor David Axelrod chipped in his 2 cents and said Obama didn't order him out of the door, but commended him for the decision to step down, saying he showed his commitment to the cause by removing himself as an issue. So that's what they're sticking with. When someone becomes an issue, they go suddenly into that good night. The garbage disposal. You're done with. We didn't really vet you correctly. We didn't realize just how radioactive you were going to be once a bunch of things were uncovered about you that just don't jive with what you have to do politically. Now, Howard Dean, the former Democratic National Committee chairman, you might have seen him. He was on Fox News Sunday. He said it was a big loss for the country to lose a guy like Jones. You know, Jones is a guy who was a self-described communist during the 1990s. He worked with a group that was dedicated to a Marxist and Leninist philosophies openly. And, of course, his comments in a bunch of years recently were pretty radical. He blamed white polluters, white environmentalists for what he called steering poison to minority communities. And in 2005, even, he drew a distinction between white and black kids involved in some shooting incidents by referencing the Columbine High School massacre with things that happened in the ghetto and a couple of other places. And, you know, so, of course, all this stuff starts to surface. And then he got a bunch of attention because a video comes to light that shows him calling Republicans a-holes during an address in Berkeley. So that's the thing that's going to get you pinched in politics, on either side, let's face it. But it comes back to the main thing. It comes back to this once again. Here's a guy, you put him in charge of these green jobs, right? Senator Kit Bond from Missouri said it best. You got to reassure the American people that, hey, this government is safe from these counterproductive sentiments, from these incendiary comments. And, you know, Jones was that kind of guy. He was going to be radioactive. There's no question about it. So it's not a surprise that there were calls for his resignation, right? You know, Lamar Alexander, who's actually sticking up for Obama on the addressing the kids next week, on the right to do that and to, you know, shouldn't the president be able to do that? So, but on the other hand, he says, look, these guys are an affront to the Constitution. I mean, what's the deal? I've said this all along. The vetting process is ridiculous. They just don't do a good job. They don't investigate these people. They just appoint them. It'd be like you or I. Suddenly we're in a government position. You might have some great friends. Maybe they're a little bit radioactive, and they really wouldn't fit into whatever it is your administration's going to be in whatever state that you live in. And wouldn't it be uncovered? Wouldn't the people start to say, what are you thinking? Why do you have this guy on the payroll? And that was the problem all along. That was the problem, because you got somebody that close to the president and one of our branches of government, and really they haven't been approved by Congress. They haven't been vetted. That just adds more fuel to the fire that what are these guys doing? What are they doing in Washington? They don't get it. I get that. I get that I would have to go through that process with people I know. There may be, it's like I said, there may be people you know that you think would be great if they were on your team in a government position. But what if you all of a sudden realized your friend was a Marxist and you didn't know it, said this, said that, blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't be able to play for your team. You know that. And this guy clearly was too radicalized for that White House. Again, another blunder by the administration, period. So what happens next? How many other czars will fall? I'd have to think there may be one or two more. This has been like now number three or four, right? So he decides to step aside because there's too much controversy, and that's the bottom line there. Is anybody out there surprised that Van Jones decided to step away quietly on a Labor Day weekend? I'm not. I'm not surprised one bit. Coming up on the flip side, for something completely different, speaking of being able to understand issues, how about the issues in inner city schools? Dr. Richard Gordon talks about the difference between black and white students and what's going on in education next on America Tonight.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you and will save you right around 50% over were smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, was written for anyone who wants to survive the upcoming and ongoing financial storm. Get prepared and go to hereswhatyoudo.net and buy the $6 book. He is also trying to help us by running for Congress to stop the thievery and loss of liberties. Please arm yourself with his guide and go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. Hope you've had time to enjoy it with your family. Now, some kids are already back in school across America. In fact, they've been back for a couple of weeks. Others, particularly in the Northeast, a lot of people don't go back to school. A lot of the schools don't start up again until after Labor Day. When I was a kid, I grew up outside of Philly, and that's what we did. And it was always Labor Day. That was it. The end of the summer, you were there. You were at the Jersey Shore till the very last day. The sun was going down. You were getting in the car. You already had your pressed uniform back at home. And that was all she wrote. You know, in urban schools, there's so many things that are happening. And I've gone and talked to a bunch of kids, and I've seen some of the situations where, of course, they're going through metal detectors. And then you look at the vandalism and the problem in Detroit. Boy, they were slammed with vandalism, but not just Detroit, in Philadelphia and Chicago and some schools in some areas. And what you're concerned about is, what about these kids? Are they slipping through the cracks? How do you get to these kids? What's it like to grow up and go to an inner city school? Joining us now, pleasure to welcome him on this holiday. He's a man with Harvard behind him, Dr. Richard Gordon, and he joins us now. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming on the show.
Good evening. Pleasure to be here. I'm a Jersey boy originally, too.
You are? All right. Excellent. So you know of what I speak. Labor Day. It's always Labor Day was the day, boom, we were going back after that.
Same thing, sure. Same thing.
Yeah. It is sad. I mean, I've gone to some of these schools and talked to some of the kids and stuff, and I met some great, impressive kids that have managed to have good mentors and found ways to, you know, get to the next level, like, let's say, high school, get to college and whatnot. But I've also seen and heard from teachers that a lot of kids fall through the cracks. But what people always want to know is why? Why does that happen? Is it because nobody wants to teach there, so you have awful teachers? Is it because there's just no money? There isn't any money behind these schools. Nobody wants to pump any money there. What is it in general that has plunged our inner city schools, so many of them, into this dire situation?
Yeah, well, you've hit the nail right on the head. First thing is, they're far worse than anybody realizes. They are horrible in every way. First, in terms of academic achievement, if you take the state, you take the data, and they're very specific by race and by school district, and you will find in every single case that the inner cities are the lowest by far. I mean, it's not even close. And the reason, the main thing is you know, why? Everybody agrees on the statistics. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, well, no, it's not true. The statistics, I mean, it's tons of them. So the question is why, and I know you're kind of short of time, so I'll just try to cover some of the things, and I'll be brief so you can, you know, jump in. I'd rather do
sure.
it that way. One of the main reasons people give is money, and that is just an absolute lie. It's a myth. Okay, people have gotten rich writing books like Jonathan Kozol on this subject, implying that if only the money were the same, the kids would learn. Not true. Not true at all. And the money is not that much different. If you factor in what the state gives these inner city schools, plus what the federal government gives in terms of special programs, special educational programs, plus the lunch program, plus the breakfast program, it's about the same. And I always challenge people. You go to any inner city school. Take Dallas, for example, which I know mm-hmm. cold. I go in the closet in any of these rooms, and it's full of materials and computers. Half of them haven't even been used yet. It's not the materials. That has nothing to do with it. That's just some kind of excuse. Okay? The main reason, and this is not that many people really get into this. The main reason is that the kids don't want to learn, that their peer group is such that they say that learning is acting like whitey. That's being white. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to do that. And so when you check the black achievement level, mm-hmm. irrespective of socioeconomic class, mm-hmm. it is the lowest by district and by state, and it never changes. The data are remarkable, and if you go back and you figure out why, well, the main reason is that these kids go after each other. Hey, you try to learn, don't act white. That's not the way to do it. Another reason, and there are a few of them. That I would say is the main one. The family structure is not helping in the inner city. You have many of the black and Latino families are just one parent, and often they don't value education as much as other people. And as a result, the kids don't respect the teachers. They don't respect education. They don't look upon it as the way to get ahead in the world. Their values are completely different. I'll keep quiet because I know you're
how do you,
limited
let,
time, and you can ask me anything specific.
Sure, let me jump in there.
You
know this subject backwards and forwards. Okay, so the first thing you said when you talk about the kids, you don't want to be like whitey. Forget that, yo, punk. I understand that, like gangs and the whole philosophy and whatever, and so you have that serious peer pressure. How do you crack that code? That's pretty tough. How do you do that?
Yeah, there's no easy answer. One of the things that they're experimenting with is this black professor, used to be a black professor at Harvard, and he's now working in New York City, and they're paying kids to get good grades. And, you know, it may be working a little bit, but something's got to be done to crack this feeling, this philosophy that tomorrow doesn't come. See, these kids think tomorrow doesn't come, so, hey, why study? Why sacrifice? Why prepare? Tomorrow it's not going to come. So it's a very difficult question. And another way to do it is to get black leaders, good leaders like Bill Cosby. I think he was absolutely on the right track. acting as role models and telling them, what the deal really is. And Barack Obama, too. I'm not one of those that criticizes him for everything. And his idea of talking to the kids and talking about the value of education is first rate.
Well, the problem with the Barack Obama thing was, unfortunately, what I find there is the people around him with this speech, they should have just approached the school districts and said, listen, here's the copy of it. This is what we're talking about, because they're going to release it. It's 18 minutes, and it's all just about school. It has nothing to do with anything else. But, of course, that wasn't told to anyone, so then it became extremely hot potato controversial. And there's even now, I said this, a couple of hardcore Republicans who are backing Obama and saying, listen, people just didn't realize what he was doing. It was another blunder by the administration of not paving the way correctly.
Yeah, but, well said. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah.
But, here, what about, like, the Tiger? Because no matter what anyone says, black superstar athletes are the role models. There's no question.
Yeah.
So what about getting more of them involved? More
absolutely.
Speeches, more Shaqs, more Tiger Woods,
et cetera. I don't like the idea of a school that's completely, let's say, all black or
right.
all Hispanic. I think they should be bigger, and they should be more heterogeneous, and they should have more models of kids who are learning and interested, and black kids are interested. In other words, I would just close these inner city schools and start over again. They are simply disasters. You said you were from outside of Philly.
Yeah.
Do you know Camden, New Jersey?
Very
public
well.
Schools?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have hit bottom. You have hit the absolute bottom in the world almost when you go to Camden, and especially when you see those schools. And they haven't changed. They've been like that for 40 years. And they're violent, and there's no learning going on. And they pay the teachers a fortune, by the way. I mean, they pay these teachers. And there's another thing. They love to blame the teachers. You can't blame the teachers, okay? The problem is not the teachers. You get teachers who want – you can't teach if the kids don't want to learn. The parents don't cooperate. The administrators don't cooperate. You can't blame the teachers. Now, the teachers who teach in inner-city schools do tend to be less experienced and less educated. But
right.
still, that's not the main problem. It's a minor problem at best. And people love to blame others, the teachers, the administrators, the whites, and losing excuses when, that's not really the problem.
Right, because they're not looking in the mirror at their own, at themselves and what they could probably do, even in a single-parent family, what they could do for their kids by influencing them more positively as far as education, right?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, you've got The Emperor Has No Clothes. How can we get a copy of that? You've got that out.
Yeah, sure. The name of my book is The Emperor Has No Clothes, The Crisis in American Inner City Schools. And the easiest way to get it, it's not hard. You go to Amazon.com or
yep.
BarnesandNoble.com and Richard J. Gordon, Ph.D., and punching it that way, you can order it and get it in a couple days. So again,
right.
The Emperor Has No Clothes, The Crisis
right.
in American Inner City Schools.
We got it. Dr. Gordon, keep fighting the good fight, okay? And we'll have you back on America Tonight.
Anytime, call me back. We talk about Camden, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, I know all about Camden, boy. Just a stone's throw away from where I grew up. Real desperation there. Stay with us here on ATN.
Are you constantly tired, have a hard time concentrating, experience muscle weakness, or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit RMApply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free, no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon. It'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure, but I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight, detoxify, and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. Getthetea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now while you still can. Order at getthetea.com.
Today, hey, do you think it was a smart thing for Van Jones not to just stay and hold his ground? Why do you think he resigned? Do you think he should have resigned? Of course he should have resigned, because I'm sure he was asked to gently step aside. That's probably the real story. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Hope you're having a great weekend with your family. If you're tuning in to us, crank it up, and you can call this number if you want to throw in your two cents. What's the next shoe to drop with this crazy administration where they don't even know the backgrounds of half the people they have working around them? The biggest problem, unprepared. If they were an NFL team, trust me, they would go 0-16. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Coming up, I'm going to tell you about those sharks in the water at Cape Cod, and also the latest on the fire. 50% or so contained in Los Angeles. So you remember the beginning of last week on our show, we were telling you it was 30-something, 20-something. This is good news for people who were worried, but the damage is done. You know, almost $45 million in damage so far. You had the two firefighters who were killed. Now Governor Schwarzenegger has a $100,000 reward offered for any information leading to the arrest of any possible anybody involved in the fire, if anybody has any knowledge of that. Could be that Mexican guy that I think he looked like he was a drug guy. involved in the cartel. Now, they don't think it's that this time. That was the first fire where everybody fled on foot and they couldn't catch anybody. Too bad they didn't have some of the Border Patrol guys up there crawling around in the forest. They might have been able to do it. Let's hop across the border to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello, you. How are you?
Good. Do you have a good weekend so far?
Let's see. There's one football parent who would like to have me hung by my thumbs because I threw his son out of a football game.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, but when he called, but when we're walking off the field at halftime and I'm there with Julie, and he bluntly said, this is a 14-year-old kid. Hey, how much did you pay that hooker?
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, so then Julie walked over and slapped him right in the face.
Yeah. Oh, and then, wow.
And then, so then the parent said, what'd you slap my kid for? I told him what he called him. So he goes, yeah, so it's a free country. You can say what he wants. So we walked in the room, and we just, you know, I thought Julie was going to cry. She said she's heard it all before, so it's no big whoop. Okay, now, in Canada, we might be having another election again. I mean,
tell us what's going on in Canadian politics, Sam.
Okay, Michael Ignatieff, who's head of the Liberal Party, wants to bring down good old Uncle Stephen Harper, okay, mm-hmm. because of who knows why. But the new Democratic Party, which is sort of like a party which has like the least amount of seats but still has what they call party status, might say, hey, if the Liberals play ball with us, we'll play ball with the Liberals. So if they play ball, there won't be a non-confidence vote. But if they don't, they'll either bring this non-confidence vote in when they come back from their summer vacation. Our summer vacation is longer than yours, because we go from, like, the parliamentarians go from, like, the beginning of July to almost, like, mid-September.
Right.
You know, so it's great being a Canadian politician.
No kidding. You get all that time off.
Yeah, and then, but if they do, they might wait until us, you know, then they might wait till October, because already in the news they're talking about if the governor's brought down on this date, then the election will be on this date. If the governor's brought down on this date, you know, like in October, then the election would be in November. In fact, I don't know if you have one in the States, but here we have what we call the chief electoral returning officer. And this is truly Canadian. His first name's Jean-Pierre, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last name, Kingsley. It's common it's common here in Quebec to have maybe maybe an English first name and a French last name or vice versa.
Sure.
Anyway,
sure.
So then the interviewer said, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to send people out? He goes, no, we're going to go. Basically, things haven't changed that much. So we're going to go by old list. If people have moved, needless to say, if they want to, they can go to what we call riding offices and update. You know, I don't live in this riding anymore. I live in, you know, whatever riding I live in. So, I mean, he's ready. But at the same time, it's like he's hoping, and some people are hoping, that there's no election, because we don't need. I mean, we need one like a hole in the head.
Yeah, how many elections are you going to have in Canada? It's worse than
in the
United States.
Like this would be like our fourth election in 5 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it'll end up being probably another conservative minority. I spoke to Steve, and let's bring in a certain country's politics. A certain former prime minister, who was also at one time mayor of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
was indicted for embezzling funds.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Yeah, Ehud Olmert. So I said.
Mm-hmm.
So I said.
And Olmert was really popular for a long time, and then of course they found out what was going on with him and nailed him to the wall.
Right. And I said, now what about peace? He goes, what's that? I go, enlighten me, Steve. What do you mean by what's that? He goes, right now. Right now, I think Israel has more important things to worry about than talking about peace. And I don't know if I told you this, but after the holidays, he's going to be going for his master's degree in educational administration.
Oh, good for him.
Well, yeah.
send him our best and tell him we wish him well, certainly in pursuing that, and tell him to be safe. And thanks for the call, Salam and Sammy.
Take care, gorgeous.
All right, so Sam, talking about the politics in Canada, another election. You see how crazy it is there. Obviously, people dissatisfied, and it's interesting. He calls in from Montreal, and they still have that big debate in Montreal over French or English. It has not died down. All right, I mentioned the fire in Los Angeles and the fact that there's this big fat reward now up from the governor, who's offering, actually not even for the arrest, for information that, I guess for the arrest, because it would lead to the arrest and then the conviction of whoever it is. But they're calling this arson. We said that last week as we headed into the weekend. The good news is you have about 400 firefighters who now have been able to go home. You still have 4,800, but at least you could lop off a few, because these guys are just sitting there eating breakfast, taking a couple of quick shut eyes, sometimes working these horrific hours, and you worry. I mean, they're pros, but they're crawling all over the area and trying to make sure that all the smoldering, all the embers, all that stuff is out. Now it's a question of catching whatever idiot set this. And, you know, a lot of people think this could be terrorists. This could be the Mexican cartel. And I used to laugh that off, but now I'm not so sure it couldn't be something like that, because especially with the cartels, because they are crawling all around that area, although it doesn't seem as though this is that particular scenario. It doesn't seem like it. I mentioned this thing about sharks. Can you imagine you're wrapping up your summer and you want to go to the beach, and guess what? You can't. What happened was, and they think there might be four great whites, but there's at least two great white sharks that were circling off Cape Cod. Now, there have been shark sightings there before, but, you know, when I say great white, there are different kinds of sharks that will, you know, eat man. Certainly the great white is one of them. What happened, if you're somebody who was in the industry of oceanography, you would think this is really cool, because they tagged one of the great whites in the Atlantic Ocean, and that's a big deal, because now they can, you know, see what happens with the shark and where the shark goes. They're saying there might have been as many as five large sharks at the National Wildlife Refuge off the Southern Elbow area of Cape Cod. To put it in perspective, if you've ever been there, think of the big lighthouse, the Chatham Lighthouse. It's a huge public swimming area. That's about a mile away from there. So they closed the beaches. They closed the beaches after they know that they had some sharks 75 yards within the coastline, and they're going to leave the beaches closed until mid-week, they say, at this point. The tag thing is kind of cool, though. That's that satellite-based thing. If you watch Shark Week or watch any of that on Discovery Channel and stuff, that's where they record where the shark goes. As I said, it allows the scientists to understand where they migrate to and if things have changed, which is a good thing, because maybe that helps some people. Now, of course, a great white, pretty rare in New England. They've seen a few, because when you have the seal colonies, what happens? The great white, that's their big-time food. In Massachusetts, I didn't realize this, there have been only four shark attacks since 1670. Two were fatal. The last one happened in 1936. But I think it would kind of freak me out if I was there by that White House and they were saying, oh, no, go home. We got the great white shark. Matt, what do you think about that, those shark sightings? It's very odd, especially off of the Atlantic waters. That's why they were so excited to tag it. But I wouldn't be very excited if I were a boater or if I were somebody who was doing whatever I would do, boogie boarding or trying to catch a few waves, hanging out right there. As I said, I've been there. It's a very, very popular area.
Yeah, especially during the Labor Day weekend when, you know, you got thousands of people heading to the, you know, beaches for the sun and the sand and the water. Go out and have some fun while you're vacationing, and your vacation's canceled, and you got the threat of sharks, you know, biting your leg or something. I don't even know.
I the one thing I saw in Shark Week, and some people listening could relate to this, they showed the kids, and this was in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, which apparently is the worst beach for shark attacks. What I thought was so fascinating about that is that you had people that would go in the water, even though there were kids that got bit on the ankles and legs by the sharks. Oh, it's just a shark bite. I would not let my kid back in the water if I saw these people on the beach trying to tape up their shark bites. Crazy. same thing here. I guarantee there's some kids that probably wanted to go in the water. So I agree with Matt, a real downer if it's the end of the summer. Coming back, we have the Daily Salute on ATN.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreen Clean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreen Clean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreen Clean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreen Clean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreen Clean. It cleans anything.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah,
speaking of the prize, I thought it'd be fun to have the Daily Salute on this holiday show. And the Daily Salute goes out to J.C. Lee Duger. And the reason why is because what a horrible thing. Kidnapped for 18 years. Gone, completely vanished at 11 years old, right? And South Lake Tahoe, they rallied together and they decided, how can you make this poor, confused woman, because now she's a woman, feel better? And you know what they did? They threw a parade for the kidnapped woman. 2,000 people turned out. Yeah. And, you know, she is secluded with her family. But I know that she was aware of it because they mentioned it. And I think it's great that they did this. There was balloons all over the place. You had classmates and teachers that would have been with her when she was, you know, 11 in 1991. How odd is that to say that? And I think that is a positive thing, to have T-shirts saying, you know, we love you, all that other sort of stuff, because it had to have haunted the people like nobody's business. It's like I said, remember in the beginning when you used to get milk cartons and you'd see the milk cartons and it'd be missing kid, missing kid, missing kids, missing kids. And I would look at this and I'd think, wow, and they'd always be some cute little boy or girl. And I'd think, wow, that's just awful for those parents. If just someone could see them, find them, something, a trace of them, how would that change their lives? You think of America's Most Wanted and the Walsh family and what they went through and little Adam Walsh and what happened to him and how his father turned that into something positive to try to help other people, other families of missing people, and to try to go after the culprits of these horrible, horrible kidnappings and rapes and all that other sort of stuff. So good for the people in Tahoe for just pulling that together. And it's, yeah, I think that's great. It's a holiday weekend. I think so. And here's what they did, too. I mean, again, pulling this together, just, I think, probably to make everybody feel better. And they did that, I believe. What they did was they had the parade route follow the reverse route of the march that was held on the 10th anniversary of her abduction. You know, they had missing person posters that had they had handed out when she disappeared in 91. And they had large black circles and slashes drawn through them and all that sort of stuff. And you just got to feel for those people. I still do. It's sickening to me what Philip Garrido and his wife did. And they've now pled not guilty, of course, to 29 counts of kidnapping, rape, and false imprisonment. And what else can you say about this? We know it's horrible. It's terrible news. So you try to turn it into something more positive. Try to turn it into, okay, let's make this a rally. Let's support this girl. Let's let people know that they're happy that she's alive. And she's aware that they did that, which I think makes it the daily salute. So good for those people. Because, you know, they certainly didn't have to do that. They wanted to do that. They wanted to reach out in some way. Speaking of reaching out, this is something completely different. But, you know, we were talking about the idiot Green Czar, Van Jones, and the fact that the administration, it was another blunder by the administration because they didn't vet him out at all. So what do you think? The Green Czar, of course, ultimately when you find out, oh, yeah, he's a Marxist guy and he slammed Republicans. And it wasn't so much that he slammed the Republicans. It's the way he did it with expletive after expletive on video and then the 9/11 connection, just a slew of things in his background. So quietly he goes away over the Labor Day weekend. And he would have been a major distraction because, of course, Obama was going to be slammed with tons of questions about him, about what do you know about his connections, do you support what he's saying, and all that other sort of stuff. So we move from that blunder, which you can certainly throw your 2 cents in if you're kicking it back with a family and you happen to be listening to America Tonight, do it at 800-259-5791. Didn't you think it was inevitable that he was going to resign? Didn't you know he was going to resign? But check this out. This is a sports note for you. I happen to see this in one of the British papers, and what they're saying, of course, London is the site of the 2012 Olympics. And everybody wants a seat to the Olympics. It's a hot ticket. Doesn't matter where it is. But London's going to be very, very popular. So they only have so many seats you can sell. And what they're saying at their stadium in Stratford, it's just east of London, they were asked, could you make bigger seats? We don't want the standard seats. We want wider butts, you know, wider seats for bigger butts. And what they said, their answer was no. We're not going to supersize these seats. You can tell people they have 3 years to slim down if they want to get a spot in the 80,000 seat venue. Because it's not just in the United States where people are, you know, getting more portly. In Britain, they're having problems with that. So they were asked about bigger seats and more spaces between them. The Brits are the heaviest people in Europe with 3 in 10 considered obese. So they're saying, start exercising now, baby, because we don't care. We only have a certain seat size, and That's it. We are going to squeeze as many people in as we can. And I guess some of the people in England were just astonished by that. Just couldn't believe it. In fact, you know how the Brits' sense of humor, the headline is the juicy thing. The headline read this, squeeze on lardies at Olympic Stadium. It would be like this if you were British. They squeeze on the lardies at the Olympic Stadium. And can you imagine the people over their coffees sitting there and discussing this? It's shocking. I can't believe it. Do you think this is a good thing, Matt? Tell people, look, you got 3 years. Pretend you're an athlete. You want a ticket to the games? Get in shape. Start walking around the block and stop taking the stop taking the train.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same logic I use. I don't use the elevator in my apartment building anymore. I've been feeling a little better about myself. Pants have been a little more loose than they were before because I take the stairs up all the time now.
You said that. You said you went down a belt notch, right?
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm trying to do the same thing. I mean, I've been walking, playing a lot of tennis whenever I can play tennis, and I call it the bag of excuses. You just have to put down the bag of excuses. It's not always easy, but you have to just little things like that. Like you don't take the elevator. That's good. It's good to walk from your car, all that stuff.
Right. And it's just, it seems like it's not a lot, but if you do it, you know, repeatedly after time, you know, it's, let's say you're using the stairs, you know, three times a day for, you know, a week, that's 21 times you're walking up and down the stairs, rather than taking the elevator all that time.
Yeah, and that adds up. It's like the little pedometers and stuff that people started to wear, how many steps you take and all that sort of thing. And after a while, you know, you don't have to go to a gym and work out rigorously. You can do the things like Matt is saying, or like I said, walk to the store, do something different or whatever. I mean, it's good for the organizers of the Olympics for saying, hey, you know, these are the size of the seats and that's how it is. Now, with the airplanes, I think it's atrocious what they're doing on the airplanes. Little bit of a different scenario. You're paying chunky money to get on these airplanes and they're just trying to squeeze everybody in like cattle anyway. I mean, I get it if someone's really, really big, but when they're trying to squeeze everybody in so that even if you were a size 4, you still are going to be uncomfortable. It's ridiculous. Because what are they doing? It's like the last American flight I had. They sell you more seat space. Anything to get more money. So just to get more leg space, you pay more money. And I think that's the future of all the airlines. Any way they can get you, they will. And whether it's the food thing that went away, whatever it is, I get the cost of the fuel and every other excuse in the book. But it seems like, you know, you've gone from this top tier service and also feeling pretty secure and comfortable to kind of the dregs in some cases, depending on what airline you're flying and ultimately how you're treated. It is Labor Day, so I thought I would leave you with this interesting quote that I found from Elbert Hubbard, who said, "The man who doesn't relax and hoot a few hoots voluntarily now and then is in great danger of hooting hoots and standing on his head for the edification of the pathologist, yikes, and trained nurse a little later on."